Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. During today's podcast, we will discuss active listening, specifically when it comes to the idea of listening to children, and how this practice can help them develop healthy perceptions of themselves and encourage them to be productive citizens of society. Our guest today is Hortensio Johnson, senior psychology student at Andrews University. Thank you for listening, and with nothing else to say, let us begin. Thank you, Hortensio, for taking some time to be with us today. As far as I understand, you are a student at Andrews University, is that correct?
Yes, it is, I am.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more. What are you studying? Is this your final year? What are some of the plans in the future? Go ahead.
Well, my name is Hortensio Johnson, and I am from Oklahoma, a really small town, just like here in Berrien Springs. It's a little better, but not much. And I go to Andrews University. This is my final year. I am studying psychology for my bachelor's, and so for my concentration, I want to concentrate on child clinical psychology.
Why is that? Why children? Why child clinical psychology?
I think that it is very important to listen to children because not a lot of parents listen to their child, and especially when it comes to school, if they have troubles in school or in like their environment around them. So it is very important for kids to be able to express themselves no matter what it is and no matter what they're thinking or what has been happening around them in school and at home.
So what you're saying is that when we listen to children, it is easier to comprehend what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are some important things to emphasize in the early years for parents, for them to understand their children in a better way?
I think it is important for parents to better understand their children, especially in like school settings. And so when kids begin to go to school, they're dealing with a lot of different people that they wouldn't necessarily deal with when they're at home. So it's a lot of different personalities, a lot of different backgrounds. And so you never know what's going on really at school unless your children tell you. And so it's really important to listen to those things, whether or not like it doesn't sound very true. Kids don't necessarily lie just to lie, you know? And so I think people need to understand that what your kids are telling you is the truth. And if it's not, to understand why your kids aren't telling the truth or things like that.
So parents can gather from the educational background or the education, I mean, when they start in education, right? Mm-hmm. When they go to kindergarten, kids kind of have a shock.
Yeah.
And when they have this shock, it's important to listen to them because that can make us understand, or make parents understand in this case, what is their emotional health of their child.
Exactly.
Okay. So what are other emphasis areas? I mean, you talk about education. Are there other things that kind of point us towards, hey, you know, if my child is having a mental issue, are there other indicators other than education, the education environment, that can kind of point that towards us?
Definitely home life. Because especially not even just immediate home life, but like grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles, you have to see how the interactions between everyone is. So if not necessarily you're doing the thing to your child, or it's just like other people, if your child comes to you and tells you, comes with you to with a concern about other people, it's very important to listen to those concerns and not brush it off or just be like, oh no, like it's fine, we'll deal with that later, or no, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't understand the situation. It's very important to not say those things, because the child will get to a point where it's like, I can't go to my parents about my concerns because it's not important, or it's not something I understand is happening. Let me give you a concrete example, such as if someone's hitting the child and it's not necessarily in a way where it's like becoming abusive, but it's just like, okay, that kind of hurt and I don't appreciate that, so let me tell my parent. So if they come to you and they're saying, okay, my aunt touched me in a way that I did not appreciate or that you showed me is not okay, I'm going to tell you. And if the parent comes to you, says to the child that, oh, that's fine, or oh, maybe they didn't mean it like that, or anything on those lines, that's not okay, because that gives the child like, oh, okay, they can hit me or touch me any way they like.
So it can create a negative association for the child and maybe develop into even more serious issues in the
definitely,
future.
Definitely, definitely.
Have you seen any of those examples, maybe in the classes that you have taken or in personal life?
In personal life and in the classes I've taken, and I have an 8-year-old sister, so my parents teach my sister to, there are parts of your body that you just don't let other people touch, or if there are certain ways that people can and cannot touch you. So hitting, touching like your arms and things like that, because she is 8, so there's no reason for anyone to be touching an 8-year-old any type of way besides like a hug or anything like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she comes home from school and says, oh, this guy touched me this way. And so my parents are there and are like, okay, well, that's not okay, and you need to tell your teacher. So it's more of, I'm not going to tell the kid to stop because maybe the kid doesn't know that what he's doing is wrong, or he just doesn't care, so you go to the teacher instead. You don't just go straight to the person.
So it's important to inculcate these values at an early age. So
definitely, at a very early age, because you never know. People who go through traumatic experiences don't know, especially when they're young, don't know that it's traumatizing or something that is wrong, unless they are taught that it's wrong. And most of the times, it's not taught that it's wrong. So they like to show other kids what they've been through as well.
Now, since it's so important to listen to children, and we kind of have a couple of examples here, what are some of the reasons that we just don't listen to them?
Because people like to think that children don't know anything or don't understand the environment that they're in or understand things that do happen. But kids are very intellectual. They know what's going on. They speak the truth. There's no need for them to lie, and they like to express themselves. And they talk a lot. So it's very important to listen to everything that they have to say, even if it's talking about coloring, because that shows them that you're interested and that they can come to you for anything. Another reason why it's important to listen to children is because it builds trust, especially if there's something going on in the child's life and they need to talk about it. It's very important that they feel like they can come to you to talk about it. And so it doesn't create a cycle of, okay, I'm going to suppress my feelings, because that also has its own issues going forward in their developmental stages.
Okay. So two good reasons to listen to children is kind of builds trust in them and affirms them, hey, I'm listening, I'm being there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as parents, you know, nobody teaches you how to be a parent.
Yeah.
It's something that, hey, you got a child and you kind of learn. But you are studying this field and you're understanding, I mean, in the clinical psychology, I will think, you know, in your classes, you kind of go over, hey, this is how you ask questions to a child, or like, can you give us some examples that kind of will help us to practice how to listen to children in the home environment, or even the school environment, or the church environment?
I think definitely at home, it starts at home, definitely. And so at first, kids are very curious and want to ask a million questions about everything, no matter what it is. And it can be something really deep or really shallow. And I think what's really important is that the parent always listens to all the shallow things, all the deep things, and engages with the child no matter what, and give them their undivided attention. Because when you start to not listen and just say, okay, when the child's talking, it's just like, oh, you're not really listening to me, so I'm not going to really talk to you about anything. And that's where things get a little chaotic and not okay with the child. And so I believe that when you listen to a child, you have to be receptive to what the child is saying and to make them feel as though they can come to you for anything, whether it's something that's happening at school or something even deeper that could be happening without you knowing. And it's very important to build a trust and to build just openness within, between you and your husband and your spouse or whatever, between the parents and the child. It's very important for the child to feel as though you're like their best friend, but also their parent, and being able to come to them for anything, no matter what it is. And it's not only about listening to them, but it's also about making them involved when they have a concern and making them the solution to that concern.
Now, as you say that, you know, for me, it sounds very easy. I'm an extroverted individual. And there are a lot of children that are like, oh, yeah, you know, I have a concern. I'm going to be part of the solution. Yay. But there are children that are more introverted. So how do we do in that? How do we listen to those children? How do we encourage them to engage with their concerns or the things that they're trying to learn?
Yes, definitely. So I was very introverted when I was younger. I still am. And so in classroom settings or in church settings, they would be like, anyone have any ideas? And everyone would shoot up their hands, but I was never like that. And so for me to get involved, it was more of, it had to be a discussion. So everyone had to be putting in their ideas, and it had to feel comfortable for me. And so I couldn't feel like I was intimidated by anyone, or like the teacher couldn't be intimidating. So it was more of being like, hey, if anyone has an idea, let's just shoot it out there right now. And if not, it's okay. And so then I would be more comfortable in saying what I had to say and just being open. But if it's more of, hey, you're being quiet, I'm going to pick on you, that's when I'm not going to say anything, because I feel very intimidated, I feel very attacked, and so I will not be very open to share or discuss.
And there are a lot of children that kind of resonate with that idea, I will say, especially since they may not be able to articulate what they're trying to say, what the solution is
exactly,
in their brains.
Exactly, like right on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Now, from the conversation that we've been having and from knowing you a little bit more, Andrews, I know that one of your interests when it comes to children, and one of the consequences that happens when we don't listen to children, is, you have shared with me, is assault. So how has that manifested? How has that manifested maybe in your life or in life of the people that you know?
So I am close with a family whose child is 9 years old and has dealt with sexual assault. And the consequences to that was because she spoke out about it to her parents, and her parents didn't believe her and didn't understand why she would make up a lie like that. And so to a child, that just makes them feel as though they can't go to their parent about deep issues that happened to them. And so because they didn't believe her, or because they didn't go to the person, she continued to be sexually assaulted for years after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so she then spoke out again, and then they finally understood, because she was older, that, okay, I understand this happened to you, so we're going to get justice now. But that was years later, until she was at an age where it seemed okay for her to understand that this actually happened, which is not okay, because no child should feel like they can't go to their parent about something that happened to them, whether it's traumatic or it's just something simple. But because that parents don't usually listen to their child, because this has happened multiple times, it's not just one case or two cases, this happens all over the United States all the time. Parents just don't listen to their child. So young children are being sexually assaulted because no one's listening to them.
That's quite a tragic situation, honestly, that highlights, I think, Hortensia, the importance of listening to children, as you have been sharing. Now, as we start wrapping up, one more thing that I think when it comes to children, right? Like, you have experienced some time of listening to children and the importance of listening to children. How has that changed your worldview as an Adventist, as a believer? How is listening to children shaping you in a different way than when you were just dismissing or maybe not actively engaging with them?
I think that one of the ways my life has been changed is that my purpose has shifted.
That's a very interesting thing to say. So how has your purpose shifted?
So I think that my purpose here is to change children's lives. So to listen to them and to help them cope with the things that they're going through. And because listening and not listening to children have so many different effects on a child's development, my personal experience is that I just want to be able to make a difference in a kid's life and to make sure that they become a person who can change society. Another way I think my worldview has changed is that I want people to be able to speak out about this topic and to be able to engage with children and listen and better understand their voices.
Those are very interesting things that you're pointing out. I think that it's very productive that you're learning to engage with children and speak out for them, because sometimes they don't have that voice. Now, as an Adventist, you know, you believe in the Bible, you believe that it's a matter of doctrine. Does the Bible point towards listening to children?
Yeah, definitely. God is the ultimate listener, and he makes it known, so as well as in the Bible, where it says the story about the child with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, God made him the center of the story, and he was the solution to the problem. Another example that is in the Bible was when the disciples did not allow the children to go to Jesus, but Jesus was like, yes, come to me, my children. Like, he wanted to engage with them and to make them feel like they matter.
So you're saying that even Jesus himself is doing something that's like, hey, children are very important. I want to make them part of the solution. I want to, something that you pointed out earlier, I want to listen to them because their opinion is important.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for engaging with us today. I appreciate your time and, you know, speaking about little differences and some of the topics in the Bible, outside of the Bible, within psychology. As we wrap up, I want to give you the opportunity to give us some final thoughts on this topic and maybe some encouragement from your part.
Children are very intellectual, and they know a lot more than we think they know. And so I think it's very important to understand that and understand that their opinions do matter, and they're going to be world changers one day. So we need to give them the opportunity to change the world.
Well, Hortensia, thanks again for being with us and for giving us some ideas into how to listen to children and why it is important in the psychological sphere and in the life sphere as a whole. We hope that you graduate and that you have a good time listening to children in the future with clinical psychology.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was our interview with psychology student at Andrews University, Hortensia Johnson. Thank you for listening today. I hope that we have intrigued you a little bit and that you decide to stay around for future podcasts. If you have any comments, feedback, or a topic you would like us to discuss, please go to our website at www.disruptiveadventism.org or shoot us an email to disruptiveadventism@gmail.com. We're eager to engage in discussions about any matter, so don't hesitate to contact us. This has been it for today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.